What's going on, everybody? You're tuned into the More Than Paper Marriage podcast with the Jaspers and Johnsons right here on Transform City Radio. This is the podcast where we discuss the triumphs and challenges of marriages and how we can have a thriving marriage in spite of it all. Because guess what? Life happens to us all, but we have to find a way to get through it. So tune in for these conversations. Welcome, 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 welcome to the first edition of the More Than Paper podcast with the Johnson and the Jaspers. I am Brad Johnson. I have my lovely wife with me, Aquiana Johnson, and we have the awesome couple of Elvin and Sherelle Jasper. What up, y'all?
What's up?
And we're so glad for you to join us for our inaugural show right here on Transform City Radio. And we're going to be talking tonight about a subject about the best part of life other than salvation, which is marriage. Marriage is so important to not only just us as individuals, it's important to God. He said that it's not good for man to dwell alone. And he said that that he's given us all a helpmate if we desire one. And so tonight we're going to jump into talking about marriage. And so the question that is on the table tonight that has sparked so much conversation is around just understanding the need in marriage for the foundation to be built upon Jesus Christ. So why is it important to anybody can jump in first? Why is it important that Jesus be the foundation for marriage?
Go ahead.
I'll jump in first. So I think for us, it was important that Jesus and Christ, following Christ, be the foundation for which we build our marriage, is because one thing I first think about is like when you have a relationship with Christ, when you start knowing, learning the word and getting God's mind on different things, the first thing is that having a relationship with God teaches you how to see another person and how to treat another person. And I realized that even in, because I pretty much, you know, been a Christian or knew of Jesus Christ all my life, but it's something about it's more than just knowing about Jesus Christ, but actually having a relationship and actually having the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when you are in communication or in relationship or you know, whatever you're doing with your spouse, it's like the Holy Spirit give you insight on how to treat them or what to say or when to say it or don't do that right now. Like it was necessary for God to for the word and Jesus to be the foundation for us, because outside of that, before then, it was like we was just kind of going off or whatever we thought, you know, just whatever you think that you know, would work, or whatever you see, you know, on TV that told you this is what marriage looked like, or whatever your parents even told you this is how a marriage should be, this is how a man should treat you and all of that. But all of that had to be sifted through the word. So I found out, oh, you know, before I got a good relationship with God, actually communicating and listening and actually following the word, I thought I was loving my spouse well. I thought I was loving Elvin well. But when I got into the word and found out, oh snap, love is not irritable. Well, I'm always snapping every time I don't have my way. So what am I doing? Am I really loving him for real? Or, you know what I'm saying? So we had to like really comb through the word and see like, oh, I'm withholding myself from my husband. I'm not giving myself fully to him. What's really going on? Are we really, you know what I'm saying? Are we having a kingdom built marriage, or are we just together just to say we are together? So that's one of the first things I think about, just seeing having the word to like guide me as to what to do, how to do it, how to see my husband as not just, you know, somebody that's in my space and he getting on my nerves all the time and he ain't never right. No, this is a man that's trying to follow after God himself. How can I help him? How can I give him grace? I didn't even know, you know what I'm saying, when I learned about grace, like I didn't even have a full understanding about that. And so when I did, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't give this man no room to mess up. I'm always on him. I'm always beating him down. I got to change. And so guess what? The Lord had to start doing some changes within me first. And then I started seeing a difference in our marriage. So I think that's one of the things that's necessary.
My gosh, she said she was beating the man down all the time.
I think that it's the order of God. I think that if we want, when it comes to Jesus, we're talking about not just what he's done for us, but who he represents, which is also the Father. And I think about that if we're talking about God Almighty, who in everything in him exists, and everything he created in order to. And I think in us, we want the desire, we have the desire of eternity. We have the desire of his order. It's about surrendering to it, because it's his best way. It's the best path. I think, you know, we have heard, I think past Sunday, I've heard something that was so key. It was like, you know, God is not just delivering out gifts. He's delivering paths. You get to choose which path you want to be on. When it pertains to marriage, it has to be about, you know, what path you want to be on. And if it's going to be Christ, you have to completely surrender to that path, because that is where the order is. That is where the blessings is. That's where the gifts are. That's where prosperity is. Everything you will ever want in life is inside of the order of God. And so even when it comes down to marriage, if I want a blessed marriage and I want God to continually bless it or empower it to succeed, I need to do the things that are in order, like putting it first. You know what I'm saying? Outside of my relationship with God, I need to be putting it first and making sure that it is the center, because it represents also with how Christ loved the church. So it has to be important enough for you to want what God wants.
Mm-hmm. So, can I go? Okay. Yeah, so for me, the foundation of Christ is very, very, very important. And so I kind of like the Holy Spirit had kind of like showed me an analogy, or just basically he had dropped a revelation of, you know, how Ray was saying of how people picture marriage, or how other people painted a picture of marriage for you. And he was telling me, he gave me the revelation of sort of like you having a puzzle, right? And you have all the pieces, and you know how most people look at the front of the box to start the puzzle. So you have all the boxes that other people have, other people's puzzles. And then you just have a million pieces, but none of them are the same puzzle as, you know what I'm saying? You don't have that box. They're giving you their box, but your pieces are different than that box. So when you have Jesus and you have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, it's like he gives you that foundation. It's like he puts all four corners together. Like he does the outside. He does the outside of the puzzle for you. So it makes it easier to start. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because a lot of people without Jesus, they're just looking at a bunch of pieces, and they're trying to put it together. And they're, you know what I'm saying? And some people can have the patience to start it, to try it. And some people just get frustrated and give up. You know what I'm saying? So for me, and then with me and my marriage, it's just like once we got that, once Jesus put that foundation together, like, because none of us really knew, you know, we had a bunch of different pictures, but none of us really knew what God's purpose was for our marriage. So once he put the foundation of the puzzle together, it's like the more revelation we get, the more pieces we put together. You know what I'm saying? So then we start seeing God's picture for our life. You know what I'm saying? We start seeing, as we see the picture coming together, it's like you look forward to more time together. You look, you know what I'm saying? You start looking forward to the future. You start looking forward to the completion of the picture, you know what I'm saying, that God has for your life. And that's, you know what I'm saying, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think the one of the biggest things that I've seen about marriage, I like what you said, Elvin, that one of the biggest things that I've taken is that Jesus, by having Jesus as the foundation, it really gives us the framework for which we work within in our marriage. And so it's so much variety in God that we don't have to be just like another couple in Christ. right? But it provides us with a framework that if you stay within these boundaries, you'll be okay. Word. It may be different from the next man or the next woman or the next couple, but it's still within this framework. And I think that that's in God's love that he says that, hey, the Jesus, the word of God that John says, it gives you the framework of this is how you can be successful. Now, within that framework, you can begin to build what works for you, what's best for you, what's best for your family, but stay within these boundaries, if you will, in order to make sure that your marriage can walk in the blessing. And so what I've learned in my marriage is, had I not had a framework, I mean, for me, even in my career, I love a template. I always tell people, if you give me a template, I can rock it and make it bring it together. But if you just say from scratch, do it, I may mess it up, right? I may mess it up. It may be totally wrong. But if you give me a template and said from the template, build what you want it to be, and you give me a guide to go by, then boom, I can make it, and I can make it custom and make it my own, but it will be within the realms of this template as a starting point. And that's how I look at the word of God, that we don't violate the word of God, but it serves as a template to build your marriage. And the Lord says, as long as you're inside this template, you can do whatever and you will still be okay, and you still have a blessed marriage. But we can't compare ourselves. We just have to keep our eyes on the template and then allow, as Elvin said, allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what to do.
Amen. Yeah.
Go ahead, Sherelle. You have something?
That's good. And I was like, when I was thinking about this topic too, I was kind of like, I also had a picture of, like, you know, like when you get married, like, you're building your own house, and not necessarily physically, but you're building your own, you know, you and your spouse are building y'all's your own household, your own way of living, and all of that. You're establishing your own house, right? And so I was thinking about the word Jesus Christ being your actual foundation of your house. And like, what does a foundation do? It bears the weight of the entire house. So I was thinking about you know, Jesus, he bears the weight of our sins. And one thing that, you know, when you get into a marriage, you get to learn, even if like in your engagement or your, you know, your dating stages, you may not have learned everything, you know, you might have heard stories, but it's kind of like when you get married and you're under the roof all the time, like the things that, you know, your spouse may never highlight or may never talk about kind of show up. And so it's like, you need Christ as the foundation to help you bear the weight of like your everything that y'all are bringing in sets from your past and from your issues, everything that you're bringing into the marriage that may not have shown up at first. You know what I'm saying? And like, if you don't have the word of God to help you through of seeing your spouses seeing your husband at their ugliest moments in their, you know, in their funk or in their issues that they get into or whatever, it's like, it's easy for the whole thing to fall apart. But with God bearing the weight of that, weight of what y'all are bringing into the household, it helps. And then we know that a foundation also holds up the house, holds the house together and keep acts. I was looking on the website, it said a foundation acts as an anchor between the frames and holds the house in place. And so that's what, like what you was just saying, like as you all develop in your marriage, you stay within the bounds of, you know, you have that foundation to keep you in the bounds, to keep you in and keep you covered in the kingdom, where you know what I'm saying? So these, you know, this, when you get rocked, your house still stay together. And then it also said that a foundation waterproofs the house from a groundwater rising up. And like with Christ, you know, and I understand, you know, things happen, so sometimes people go under, but I feel like, you know, with us, like if it, you know, it was Christ that saved us from going under, from drowning and just being completely, just our whole marriage and our children just being wiped out from, you know, being just so under so much issues and so much pressure. It was Jesus Christ that and learning of him and building a relationship and getting good teaching and actually, you know what I'm saying, prayer and just so much, like, you know, just all these resources that we have from being in a relationship with Christ that saved us literally from drowning and ultimately getting a divorce. So it's like, when I was given that picture, I was like, that's so clear. I see that. And it's like, I'm excited because God is still building our house and preparing us literally for a house. So I'm like, yes, this is a good, I thank you, Lord, for that little picture.
Yeah, I've learned, another thing that it's done for me is I've learned how to, as you alluded to earlier, Sherelle, I've learned how to love my wife, right? By Christ being my foundation. The Bible says that husbands have to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so in those moments where I found myself not wanting to be patient, not to be graceful, I could go back to the word and say, wait a minute, does Jesus do me that way? Right? When I've been flawed and when I've made a mistake, has he cast me away? Right? When I didn't get it right, has he berated me? You know, because sometimes you, just being honest, even in the kingdom, you'll have spouses that will berate one another for making a mistake, right? As if we are perfect. Right, it will berate them and harp on what they did wrong or what's not quite right in their life yet, right? Because we're all a work in progress, and I always ask myself, wait a minute, does the Lord do that to me? Yes, the Lord corrects me. Yes, the Lord brings to my attention when I'm doing something that violates our relationship. But am I giving my wife the same grace that Jesus has given unto me, that I would love her and cover her and correct her, but do it in a loving way where she's not destroyed by my words? And so many times that has saved me, saved my marriage, and saved my wife's self-esteem, by being able to say, I'm not just going to talk down to her, right? Because the Lord doesn't make me feel that. He doesn't make me feel insignificant. He doesn't cause me to feel as though I've fallen so short that I can never recover from it, right? He doesn't tell me, even though he may tell me something that I'm doing is ugly, he doesn't say that I'm ugly. He doesn't say that I'm worthless. He, you know, and all those things, it served as a template of how to love people and how to love my wife. To know that, wait a minute, because I can always reference that, wait a minute, did Jesus do that? So I shouldn't be doing that either. Wait a minute, did Jesus say that to the people? I can't say that to my wife, you know, because if I love her and she's my bride, then it really does serve as teaching me how to love, because like Sherelle, I didn't know how to love before, right? I came from a single parent home. I didn't know how to love or really know for sure in its totality of what it is to have a wife and how to love. And so knowing that I wanted it, though I didn't know how to do it, God gave me a template in Christ and reading through the scripture and how God has faithfully loved us through all our mistakes. It doesn't mean that we settle for abuse, but it allows us to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be long-suffering and I have to be patient. Because the Bible says that God is patient with us. So though they haven't changed today, I can't be like, well, you ain't gonna never change. Wait a minute, why you ain't gonna never get it right? No, I have to learn to give and also to speak. The Bible says that, you know, God always speaks life over us, right? And so you have to speak what you want to see, not what you're currently seeing. Because God looked at David and he called a king out of a shepherd. He didn't look at him and say, you a shepherd, you always gonna be a shepherd. No, he saw that there was a potential for a king, and he began to call that thing forth. And we have to do the same thing in our marriages.
I love that. That's what I think I love about the word the most, is that it just holds you accountable. It makes you think about yourself and how you treat people, you know, like Sherelle said, because it's like whatever heated fellowship or discussion that you may have with your spouse, right? It makes you be like, you know, it has, especially for those who really have the Holy Spirit, the heart of God, and who really want to do right by the heart of God. You know, after you've had that heated fellowship, you go in your little corner, you already know the Father is about to answer you. Before you can even ask, he's already dealing with you, saying, you know, you're gonna say it like that. And even though you can be pissed, mad at your spouse, I'm all, but what about before you even dock your thoughts or your mouth to say it, he's telling you about how he graciously loves you. And how he doesn't, you know, like, he is the template for real of how to like treat other people. He shows you that his love towards you on how you're supposed to love others. And that's why I always go back to when he talks about the commandments. He's like, listen, I don't need you to try to fulfill the law. What I need you to do is focus on two things. Love me first with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. And then the second is just as important, that you will love your neighbor as you love yourself, which brings me to the whole moment of, I know people can't love me if they haven't loved themselves, but they can't love themselves if they haven't figured out what love is with the Lord.
Yeah.
So it is very, you know, so that order of love, you know what I'm saying, it really comes from the more you start really getting into God and you start hearing his voice and you're being drawn by his love, right? We're drawn by his love. The more I'm drawn by his love and his and having experiences with him, the more that I am always having a checkup about my attitude towards other people, especially my spouse, who's supposed to, our marriage is ordained to be a representative of Christ, marriage to the church. So it's necessary, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I wanted to ask another question. So when we're talking about Christ being the foundation, I'll start with you, my lovely bride. What has been one of, just to give an example, because people that are listening in sometimes will say, yeah, this sounds all good, but how do you practically apply that? Can you think of a time where you had to revert back to Christ as when we went through a rough time or a rough moment, when you had to revert back to what Christ said, or the Lord checked you on allowing him to be God and you following what he's called you to do or who he's called you to be as a wife?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of stories. Because, you know, marriage is not perfect and you're growing into each other. And so I will say that I want to say that when we lost our firstborn son, I will say that that became a moment where I could not go into my own space and just be like, forget everything. No matter how painful the situation was, it happened to both of us. And so working through trauma together, I believe, has been like a very pivotal moment, because I could not just go in sync. Now, even though I will say that even during that situation, I wanted to completely lose my mind because it was crazy. Out of all the things that have happened to me, I'm like, why is this another nightmare? And then when I hear my husband actually share the story, he always be like, I was so sad because I didn't want another thing to happen to my wife. I knew her story. So I knew that his love went long, because he was like, not another thing happening. You know, like I need her to you know, fight this through or whatever. And so I had to lean on Christ to keep my mind, for the sake of that, you know, God is going to get us through this. And I can't be selfish and just check out, because it would hurt the other person who has literally signed up to be with me for the rest of my life and to be with me through thick and thin. So here's a person saying, don't leave me, with really a back end promise that I promise you we're gonna get through this, when really he probably didn't even know himself how he was gonna get through it. I would say another moment would be when we have our heated fellowships, you know, our last, I would say, bout of having to work through some things. You know, my husband was transitioning into a better him. He was becoming, and he didn't understand how to articulate that, hey, I'm just trying to figure out something internally. So even though he did not intentionally just walk around me like I was just a roommate, that's the experience I had of him. And so we had a conversation that really was deep. Like, it was so deep. It was so deep that it was also like I felt myself getting offended, because, you know, sometimes when you know a conversation need to be had, but you're already building your defense wall, like you're already building your wall. When they say this, this is what I'm going to say type moment. And I just remember telling God, I was like, I don't understand. Like, it was, even though it was like we had simple conversations, it was a deeper issue. So I just remember it was like, you know, it was about him, you know, feeling like that there's too much that's going on. Like, he felt like he was having, not really anxiety. Well, I guess it was anxiety to a point, because it was so much going on and he's trying to work through, I need to articulate what I need. I'm a different person. I'm evolving, I'm becoming. But the way that it came off to me, who is a person who is like a worker bee and all of that, is like, what do you mean that this is too much for you, or whatever the case may be. And I didn't understand or comprehend the nature of how God built him. And I didn't comprehend that you know, what he was articulating was coming from a deeper place, and I needed to just be understanding and then go with the Lord and say, help me to understand him because I'm trying to be here for him. So with my defenses, I'm sitting up there calculating, like, I mean, what he mean? I mean, I do the dishes. I didn't already took the laundry. So I'm calculating the natural things. And immediately the Holy Spirit checked me and was like, don't you dare try to compare your capacity to his. The way I built him is distinctly different from how I be, you know, I'm talking about, like, immediately. I couldn't even form the thought all the way. Like, God checked me and literally interrupted the thoughts and was like, no, ma'am, you will not try to calculate his capacity. I've created him to be a strategist, a visionary for your household. And so when he's doing a lot of tasks, it takes away from him having to do what I need him to do. I've given you, I have the gift of administration. Clearly, I can take on tasks and make the system run like a machine. That's why I'm the helpmate. And then he helps me strategize and envision things. But, and he knows that whatever he go to say, if he say this is what we gonna do, I'm the one who's materializing that thing. But that's the dynamic of our relationship. And so when, so I needed God to give me understanding so that we could gel more together, not be against and feel like that he should be matching. That's what the world say. You need to match my energy. No, no, no. We have all different types of things. We are two different types of people, and you have to honor what the Lord has done in that person and with the Lord, how the Lord has created that person. And you have to give them room to evolve. And sometimes you do have to pick up more things in this season to support this person and vice versa. And so as natural as it is spiritual, these moments happen in marriage. And I think people, you know, they say, I fell out of love. No, you didn't sign up for love. You didn't sign up. You fell into the feeling of it. And then when the feeling left, then you're left with having to choose. And so because you are used to having your emotions to make your decisions, now you like, I fell out of love with that person. No, you never signed up to love them. That means I got to love them through every stage of their life. That's what love is. That's what God does with us. Again, to the reason why I really love how God has set the whole template of, you know, this life is that how he deals with us. I'm loving you through all your stuff. You know, why you can't love them through all this stuff? I chose to love you. You need to choose. God didn't fall in love with us. He is in love because he chose us. And he chose to love us. And he chose to love us whether we are good, bad, indifferent, ugly, don't want them. He didn't care. He did not change. And that's the love that he is requiring for us in our marriage.
I think for me, one thing that I have, before I turn it over to the Jaspers, I think one thing for me, a situation was when your sister died. My wife's sister died by accidental suicide. And learning how to love you in the midst of that was new for me. And because we had never had anybody like that unexpectedly, with the exception of our first son, to die and to just for something random to happen. And so I didn't know, without God, I wouldn't have known how to love you in the midst of that situation, because I didn't know what place that would try or attempt to take you to. And so for me, that was a real life, because what people don't tell you in marriage when you're standing at the altar is that you will go through unexpected things that have the potential to make you lose your mind. Right.
Absolutely.
No matter who you are, how saved you are, if you Jesus' cousin, sister, brother-in-law, or what have you, we will all go through situations that have the potential to make you to lose your mind, to lose your marriage, to lose your character, to lose your ability to still hope when there seems to be no hope. And so if you don't have Christ as your guide, as Christ as your foundation, when life hits you and it hits you hard, you will find yourself, not because they're a bad person or you are a good person or vice versa, you will find yourself straying away from something that you're not anchored in, right? And so we all, and I remember watching T.D. Jakes preach this sermon on emotions years ago, and he says the problem that happens in marriages, he used an example of people who ride, like couples that ride motorcycles together. He says, when you're on a motorcycle with your spouse and you're riding with them, when you're on a straight line, everything is cool. He says how marriages fall apart is in the curves. Because if we're on the motorcycle and I'm leaning right and you lean left in a turn, we're going to flip the whole bike over. And what's happening in marriages is that when life stops being straight lines and it throws you a curve, if you're not leaning the same way, in order to maintain your balance, then you all are going to have a crash. You're going to have an accident. You're going to have a something that's going to potentially hurt both of you because you're not leaning the same way. And so as when life hits all of our houses, I had to learn when my sister-in-law passed away, I had to learn, okay, this is a curve in our life. God, what does your word say? What Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me that I can help my wife to lean the same way she's leaning, not out of the will of God, but just while she's in this place of pain, this curve, I got to lean with her. So it means if I got to tick on a little bit more for a season, that's what I got to do. If it means we got to talk more, if I got to hug her more, if I got to allow her to express her frustration more, I got to do that because we're in a curve right now. And if I go the other way saying, well, what's wrong with you? Why you can't just get over it? What it, you know, we going through, we're going to have an accident and we could potentially hurt each other, not intentionally, just from the fact that we didn't lean the same way in the same moment. Jaspers?
Yes, that is that was good, Pastor Pat. Yeah, because it's like the situation that I'm in right now, you know, about me losing my father, I just feel like my wife has really leaned with me, like she has really loved me through this situation. And I know it's the foundation of Christ that's holding me, because I actually have been in that place where I just wanted to, I've never been through nothing like this before. So it's like, and usually I'm able to just go off by myself. You know what I'm saying? Like in the past, before I got married or before I was, you know, been with her, you know, I was able to just separate myself completely. Anytime I lost somebody, a family member or something, I just go to myself and then I just separate myself for a season until I, you know, I find ways to get over it. I just distance myself from anybody that's grieving, that's, you know what I'm saying, anything that might remind me of the situation.
Wow.
I distance myself from it. So in this season, I'm married and I'm doing things differently. And this is like one of the situations, like I was telling my wife the other day, like I'm battling just saying I'm not going to this funeral. Like, because I don't do, you know, like I told you, I don't do funerals at all, period. So it's like, it's a battle within the inside of me of saying, sir, you know you're not going to the funeral, right? You know what I'm saying? But I'm doing things differently now, you know what I'm saying? Then plus, I know with my wife, she's not having it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, but she's loving me, you know, she's been there with me the whole way, and it's like, it's a difference, you know what I'm saying? And I'm feeling more like confident in it because I'm able to, I feel like with her, I can, you know what I'm saying, with her I can go yes. through this, you know what I'm saying, I can deal with this, I'm gonna make it out on the, you know what I'm saying, on the other side. Mm-hmm. So just that right there, and just being able to just continue to praise God, even though, you know, I might have days where I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like talking to nobody. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to deal. Just like, you know what I'm saying? I'd be at work and I just don't want to deal with nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I might be at home. You know, my sons, I know they want to play with me. I know, you know what I'm saying? And I just, but my wife, you know, instead of her, you know what I'm saying, why are you acting like that, or why are you being like that, she's always just coming to love me, you know what I'm saying? When she sees that I'm off, instead of her attacking me, she comes to love me, you know what I'm saying? So that right there, and I know that's coming, you know what I'm saying, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with her and sending her and saying, hey, this is how you do it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I know she's never been through this either, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, she loved my father the same way I loved him, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, she's being strong, you know, Jesus is giving her the strength to just be there for me, you know what I'm saying? So that type of situation right there is like really what you need, because I don't know where I would be if I didn't have that foundation. If I didn't have that foundation, that outside boundaries, you know what I'm saying? To where if I feel like I'm going too far left or too far right, I know I gotta, you know what I'm saying? I just go into a praise, I just go into a worship and get back, you know what I'm saying, to being me. So I just, you know what I'm saying, and that's something that I thank God for. Like, you know what I'm saying, just these times, just preparing me for these times and sending me a spouse that really, really seeks, you know, seeks God and seeks the word and seeks revelation from the Holy Spirit to be able to assist me in anything that I need her to assist me in. And that's good.
Yeah, man.
And I was going, so I know for me, and I was going, it was funny that you brought it up first, Elvin, because I was going to go into that. But I know for anybody that know our story or people that don't know our story, you know, when we started off, we kind of just jumped in. We didn't really have too much of a plan. I thought I knew what I wanted the marriage to look like. And so I was going to beat, fight, cuss everything to get our marriage to look like what I thought it was supposed to look like.
The Huxtables.
Y'all know. I mean, I came in kicking and screaming like, we gonna do this. And I really found myself being God over my husband, like telling him when he gonna change, this is how you need to, you know what I'm saying? And finally, like I said, when I, you know what I'm saying, God approached me, the Holy Spirit came into me and said, let's look at yourself.
Yes.
And look at yourself. And it was like, I realized, oh my gosh, like my broken self is trying to manufacture what I think God wants us to look like, what he wants my husband to look like and be. I want him, you know, because I didn't have it, I just want him to magically become a rich man that got, you know, I just want him just fall out the sky and he just don't do nothing. He don't go through nothing. He just there to give me what I want. Like, it was, I just had this fairy tale of just issues, and I was trying to manufacture a life. And when I allowed God, I took my hands off my husband and allowed him to encounter God for himself, allow him to, you know what I'm saying, start searching the word, instead of trying to beat the Bible over him, allow him to fall in love with God, allow him to fall in love with the word and wanting to search for himself, wanting to know things for himself, starting to seek God for himself. And then we come together and we seek together. Yeah. And that means like trying to, you know, make it look like something. That's when the change in our marriage happened. I had to surrender my control and allow God to be God in our lives. And that's when we started to see God move. That's when we started to enjoy each other. That's when we realized, oh my gosh, we really got a friendship. Like, we have, you know what I'm saying, God put in us, and we started seeing the purpose and the calling that God had for us together. We started, you know what I'm saying, I allow him and the kids to develop their relationship, you know what I'm saying, instead of me trying to tell him, all right, this is what you need to do as a man, you know, I was just beating him down so bad. And it's like God had to deal with me about, you know, just always wanted to like be a perfectionist and always wanted to, you know, just make things look a certain way. And I just had to deal with all of that on the inside of me, right? And so dealing with this, you know, losing of a parent, we weren't ready. Like, and it's nothing you can prepare for, really. But it was like, all right, so we're, you know, I'm thinking about the organ, you know, Elvin is the oldest out of his brother. So I'm like, oh, he gonna have to take on, you know, putting it together, and we gotta, you know, organize and all of that. And thank God for family that has stepped up and, you know, assisted and all of that, and have, you know, been by their side. But I'm seeing Elvin in a new way. I'm seeing him cry these past few days more than I ever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I seen him cry before, but these past few days, I'm seeing his emotions really he really shutting down. So I'm like, okay. And it's so funny that you were saying, Elvin, that you felt love, because as I was like, I was feeling like helpless, like, I don't know, Lord, like, am I doing too much? Am I pressing him too hard? You know, keep asking, how you doing? Is you okay? You need something? Like, am I pressing him too hard, Lord? And so I just started, I know that he loves his touch. So I'm just like, I'm just going to hug him and kiss him as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me just love on him and like everywhere, you know, just touching him, rubbing my hand, you know, just let me rub his back, you know, just trying to show him that when he cry, I'm there to cry with you, baby. Like, I learned my husband in a way I didn't know, you know, he was going to be that sad. I didn't know he was going to be that soft in this moment, you know? And then even approaching a funeral, I'm telling you, I'm having a conversation with God. Like, he don't do funerals. You know what I'm saying? I'm preparing in my mind, you know, at the gravesite, and you know, when you see your parent being Lord, like I'm already there, like God, because I know I'm gonna have to hold my baby up, you know? And it's just like, and I really was like praising God, like, Lord, you getting us through this, like, and it, you know what I'm saying? As sad as it is, I see God in it. I see God, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just bringing us closer where I want, you know, because I'm like, he needed, and then it was a moment where it was like an organizational thing, and I'm asking questions, and then God had called me and was like, that's not his gift. Stop trying to, and I realized, okay, he's not an organizer. Like, he is not an organ. And that's what you were saying, Pastor Queen. Like, I had to realize, and for me, because I can put things together, and like, I want to know, like, okay, what we got to do, what we need to do, how we need to step in. I need to know the details. Like, let me know what's going on. Give me details. And I realized he can't process. He's not going to be able to, he can't do both. He's not an organizational person anyway. So I had to be okay with that he's not going to be up on the details. I need to support him how he needs to be supported. So right now he's mourning. He's grieving his father. You can talk to whoever else is handling the situation and you can get details from, but don't press him about the organizational part like that. I'm you're doing too much. So I had to literally, I mean, the Holy Spirit called me in the middle of it, 'cause I was getting frustrated. Like, I want to know what's going on. And Holy Spirit said, that's not his gift. Don't hammer him about that. Don't worry about it. And everything gonna work out. And I'm like, oh, okay. You right, Lord. That's not his gift. And it's okay. You know what I'm saying? So just those moments where you have the word that's, like I said, showing you about grace. You have the Holy Spirit to like catch you right in the middle of you, you know what I'm saying, doing too much and just being like, pull back. This is what you need to pull back, slow your roll. You know, it's like, it just saves us. And I feel like I feel like it's just interesting that we just growing up. It's like God is growing us up as people. He just growing us up as husband and wife. He's growing up in our lives. And this is, you know, I just see the growth. So praise God.
One thing that you said that was so powerful, Sherelle, that I pray that a lot of wives get, and it really reflects how God loves us, is that sometimes a person being shut down or going through whatever they're going through in a marriage, it's not the time to retract yourself, especially when it comes to men. It's not the time to retract yourself. It's the time to lean in, but lean in intentionally, right? And so sometimes you can say, well, you look like you ain't wanna be bothered. So you look, I ain't messing with you because you look like you ain't want to be bothered. But that may not be, though the person may be seeming that way, that may be the time they need love the most. And they don't know how to articulate what they need. You know what I mean? And so I think that is important for all couples to say, oh, she in a mood today. Let me go ahead and leave her alone. Right now, that's the time to say, Lord, that's why we have God as our foundation, to say, Lord, how can I love on them today in a way that is not causing it to be worse, but it reflects who you are to them. right? And so it may be just rubbing their back. It may be, I'm not going to try to fix your problem. I'm just going to sit beside you and say, babe, I love you. You know what I mean? And I think that that is so crucially important, because so many times, I know even in me and our Queen's marriage, that we sometimes go through, oh, look like you in a mood today. I ain't going to even mess with you. Let me go in the other room. But sometimes you have to be discerning to know that that person may be going through something, and that though they are not articulating it, they're in a place where they need you the most. And you can't get into your emotions, because sometimes the reality is not about you. It's not about us. It's about the other person. And that's why you have to learn how to serve your spouse and say, listen, I know it looked like you're going through something. And even if you don't want to talk about it, let me just love on you some way. A hug can make a difference. You know, like Elvin, you just said, a hug can make a difference. Just sitting with me can make a difference. I know that one time, and I'll share this. I know one time, so my father deals with substance abuse. And so I remember while Queen was pregnant with our son, Brandon, that we had, I had just talked to my dad, and it just seemed like something was off, right? So I said I was going to see him. And so I went to my dad's house with Queen, and my dad answered. My dad is a small guy anyway. But this particular time, I went to visit my dad, and when he opened the door, he looked like a skeleton with skin on it. And so when he opened the door, I was so shocked. Like, Queen immediately just grabbed my hand and held my hand, and we walked in the door, whatever. And so the whole time that we sat at my dad's house, because he came to the door with no shirt on. And so when we sat in the house, I looked at the TV the entire time. Like, I would not look at my dad. And Queen just held my hand and rubbed my head, because she already knew. Like, she just was like, yo. She was like, Jesus. And she just sat there. And so for a couple of days, it just threw me off. Like, I was just off. And then one day she just grabbed my hand and said, babe, what's wrong? What's wrong? And before I could stop it, I said, I don't want my daddy to die. And I just broke down and boo-hooed and cried. But I needed that moment. Though I wasn't acting myself, I didn't need what's wrong with you? What is going on with you? That just that grabbing my hand and saying, what's wrong? Babe, just say it. What's going on? It gave me the freedom to come into another side of myself, mm-hmm. right? And I wouldn't have had that unless my wife kind of led me there through not getting in her own emotions, but saying, I know there's something's going on, and Lord, help me to say the right thing at the right time that will help him to get a level of healing or a level of release so that he can move on and be the person that I know he is.
Yes, that's good. And
I was going to say, I remember one time that I think I was going through probably at my job, probably one of my past jobs. And I was just like mad at like the whole world, mad at everything. And I just remember I had like vented in the chat to Bradley. Now, my husband used to be someone that and he still is, but he goes about it differently now. So he has grown in this area for real. But he he's a person that really wants someone to always to come out of a situation, right? So if you're mad about something, he has an answer. You know, it's gonna be the word of God, but he has a solution. He wants you to know the solution so you can move on. You know, with women, sometimes we don't want to actually hear the solution. We just want to for you to just understand. And I remember this one time, I mean, I was just going in on the chat. I'm talking about like paragraphs of just passivity. And my husband said two words. He said, I understand. And when I say that's all I needed, like that's all, that man got like 50 points for that moment. Okay. Like it is what it is, right? He made the whole day. He didn't try to solve it. He didn't try to be anything. He just let me know, I heard you and I understand. And that was so good enough. Like it was so good enough. That's all I needed to hear, because I didn't have anybody else to talk to. He's my best friend. I do treat him sometimes like that, you know, like my girlfriend, just giving him all the business. And I know that he had to get used to that as a man, that, oh, okay, this is what women do. They have to talk it all the way out, even while they're processing. He had to learn that, right? Because before he was like, just get to the point, but we want to tell the whole story, right? So now he's like, okay,
all
honey.
All the details and all the colors and all the side streets. And
all of that. We're going to tell you, we went to the store, we bought 4 apples, we saw so-and-so, we want to tell you all of it. But that's the part that really makes it so beautiful, is that he knew that he just needed to be a listening ear. He just needed, and when he said, "I understand," that made everything just smooth over. Like, that's all. And he knows I'm the type anyway that just need to get it out and then I'm good. I mean, everybody else might be pissed after I done gave it out, but I'm good now. So
that's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit right there. Told you, hey man, don't say nothing. Just say, "I understand." That's
wisdom. Take note, listeners. That's wisdom.
Yeah, I had to learn that. It's sometimes just let them vent. Don't argue. Don't listen to respond. Just listen.
Yep, we process differently.
But Elvin, you, one thing that you do well, and that's how I knew, like, Elvin, you really are good at this, because Elvin, he really does, like, I'm his first client as far as coaching. Like, the man will go into, like, I'm like, wait a minute, you just gave me a whole strategy, like, that was sweet, and it just comes to him. And I'm like, man, like, that was broken down so perfectly. So, like, I know that the Holy Spirit speaks to me through him, especially when I get into my moments, my moments of funk, where I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And I'm just so crying. And one day I'm mad. And Elvin, like, let me go through it. But then it always come to a moment where it's like, listen, I've been listening to you say this, this, and that, but have you thought about blah, blah? Like, he just coached me so well. And like, I was like, it's just like that Pastor Queen, where he's like my best friend. So he can definitely, it's like, he definitely is the one that catch it all, that hear all the details. But then Elvin come out with that strategy, and it's like, oh, remember that day? One time I was hit. Like, I don't know what it was, but I just remember the way that man came. I think we prayed together, and like, I don't even remember the scripture that you gave, but he just started spitting out all these scriptures about the Bible says that you are this. And I mean, I was like, yo, okay. Like, he literally, like, got me back right. Like, I snapped out of it, because I was just so, you know, I was just so angry at the time, or just so going through it. And the way he just started spitting scripture, like, the Bible says this about you, and the Bible says this. And he was just coaching me, like, right. It was like a boot camp moment. And after that, I felt so empowered. And at the same time, I knew he had heard me, right? But he, like, the response was so, it was like, it was strong. It was just what I needed, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yes, that's, I'm back, babe. Like, thank you. I needed that pep talk, you know? And it was, so I just thank God, like, he uses our spouses for that, to help us in our weakness, help us in our moments, to give us a word when we missing it. Your spouse kind of got your back and see what you don't see, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, thank you, Lord. Like, it's so necessary. I needed that. And he brought me back. So,
yeah. It's a sexy thing, ain't it? When your spouse.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, when he affirms you, my God. Ladies, listen, you got to make sure you get a man that, number one, is sent by God. Let's start there. But number two, like, he develops the capacity and the ability to really affirm you. Because some of us, we really do come from places that we didn't have our fathers to give us identity or to lay hands on us and speak a word to us. So sometimes God uses your spouse to be that one who will say, "No, this is what I see the Lord doing in your life. This is what I hear the Lord saying." You know, you can't just be hooking up with any mojo, because they gotta go with you on the same path that God's taking you with. So you want someone who kind of got some insight too about, you know, if you go off the handle and be like, "I think I'm gonna go to the school of architecture." I know. Bradley gonna be like, "You going where? I don't see that nowhere in the manifesto of heaven for you." Right. So we had to talk to the Lord if you strongly believe about this. Don't make a move yet, because we about to spend some resources still. Oh no, you go back to the Lord for that one. So yeah, you gotta make sure you was that's they got a clue and can affirm you and have a word for you at the same time. But you shouldn't have a man that will take the word and abuse you. Every time you turn around, they're like beating you on the head with the word either. There's a balance to this thing. Right. It has to be that they're seasoned enough to know when to bring that up and when not. Pastor Brad, no, I'm a lion. If I'm in my emotions, he like, I ain't gonna talk to her about that right now. I understand. I love you. You are beautiful. He got it down to a science. It works every time. Like, I think about afterwards, I'm like, he done got me again. But if I ask him for wisdom, like, what should I do? He is full of wisdom. So I do pull on that tree because that's some good fruit right there. So I need to, you know, I honor him in that way. So
bless the Lord.
Yeah,
that's a good fruit right there.
Look at you.
So here's I want to do this for the more. This is our inaugural show. Thank you all for listening to the More the Paper podcast with the Johnsons and the Jaspers. I wanted to have a statement that I want everybody to kind of elaborate on in closing for our first episode. So I have found a foundation in Christ to be the what's the word I want to use? To be the argument settler. All right. Because this is what my take on it. I call having Jesus as my foundation as the argument settler because my thing is that I'm not right. She's not right. The word of God is always right. And yeah. So what it does is it gives me leverage and it gives me humility to know that I don't know everything, that she doesn't know everything, but God knows. And I believe that the word of God from Genesis to Revelation covers all things, right? It covers the not only experiences, it covers not only historical data, but it can also covers especially the condition of the human heart. I think God has covered everything that a human being has the capability to do on the inside of us because of a heart issue is covered in the word of God. And so I have found it to be the argument settler, because when I want to go off or she wants to go off, we've made a covenant relationship with the Lord to say, but what does the word say? And so though I may feel this way about it and you feel that way about it, let's go to the word, and it becomes the settle of arguments, because you can get mad at me all you want to, but what does the word say? So if you get mad, the only person you can be mad at is the word. So I'm leaving you. Well, does the word say you should leave me for that? No, but I am just upset. Well, you can be mad, but let's stay here while we mad, right? Because the word is our foundation. What do y'all have to say?
Yeah, that's a good word right there. It definitely is argument settler. And you definitely said it completely to a T, that you leverage it. You have to use the word of God, because faith without works is dead. So we're going to believe this thing. We have to actually put action to this thing. And so in every argument, it's always going to be, well, what does the Lord say? What does the word say? You know, and even with complex situations where it seems like that there is nothing, you know that there is something. So you got to seek the Lord for the answer and be like, what should we do in this situation? And usually God is not slack, and do not be waiting days to give you an answer. It's about your listening ear, because God doesn't like two people to be in tension with each other. He wants harmony and unity. That's the core of that's the pattern of God. That's the core of his word, is unity and harmony and order. And so he gonna answer swiftly. You just gotta want it. But that's definitely what I think about. It settles all matters. It's the end all be all when you allow it to be. Because some people, you know, they like to put the world instead in it. And then that's where you start to deviate and start having, like Elvin said, a different picture, because you pick the pieces from a different box.
Yeah. Because you definitely have to place that type of value on the word, because there is people that will, if they mad, the word still ain't gonna win. it's about the value that you place on the word.
That's good.
Because I know my wife, she's another one like Pastor Quay. Like, when she get mad, she don't want to hear the word. She don't want to hear nothing. She don't want to hear no words.
Because we feel like we got it. We know it.
So that's why when she is in those situations where, you know, I might give her scriptures, or it's a moment that I know that I allow the Holy Spirit to use me to give those scriptures, so that way I know they're going to be effective. So when if it's a time that I know that they're not going to land the way they're supposed to land, then you know, I've learned to allow in order for the word to win with us, I have to let her go by herself, because she is a seeker of the kingdom. So the word still is going to win. It just has to catch her by herself. It's still going to win. I just allow her.
She's a wrestler with the Lord.
Yeah. So I allow her to go to her corner. Say, okay, you want to go fight? You want to fight the word? Okay. All right. I'll see you when you get back.
With a different hill, a different walk.
I said, I ain't gonna fight for long though. I just need to get
back. That's a beautiful thing. You don't fight for long.
You just gotta tussle just a little bit.
Jacob wrestling with the Lord, but you come out with a different walk every time.
That's why I said she'll come back with a hip hurt.
Yeah. The Lord know I'm his hard headed, babe. I'm his hard headed. But I would say that the foundation, having Christ as the foundation in our marriage. How did the statement go? I messed it up.
Having Christ as the foundation of your marriage is the argument settler, or the argument winner.
Yeah, and definitely when we get in our little tussles, he's the argument settler, and he always brings forgiveness to the situation where, you know, maybe I am right. I don't know. But you always got to come back to forgiveness and allow, because people make mistakes, man. Like, and I'm not saying, you know, situation, you know, if it gets tough and all that, you know, you got to go through a process. But for the little stuff we've been going, you know, we go through, man, come on back. Like, you know, before Christ, we were like, it'll be a big moment over little stuff. And we killing each other over little stuff and trying to hurt each other and beat each other down over little stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't live like that. So having Christ as the foundation has, you know, we might be mad at each other, and the next moment we look at each other, we just laughed at each other. He's like, yay, I was right. You was like, we just, you know, it's like, we just quick to get over it. And I think that Christ, you know, marriages need that, that, you know, you're not going to sleep mad, and you're not spending weeks not talking over, things, because that's when the devil got room to come in and do whatever he do in your mind and all of that. So the foundation, yes, he's an argument settler.
You said something, Sherelle, that I want to just hit on just a little bit before we close, is one thing that with him being the argument settler is we have to learn in marriage, as allowing God to be the argument or the winner in arguments, we even have to learn how to be gracefully right. Because there are going to be times when I'm wrong and my wife is right. There's going to be times when my wife is wrong and I'm right. But even in your rightness, you have to be gracefully right to your partner. Right, you have to be gracefully right to your spouse to say, it ain't the time to say, that's why, nigga, you should listen to me all the time. I done told you that I'm right. Look, every time I tell you something, I'm right, because should guess what?
Don't do that like that.
Because really, that's when, again, the word being our foundation for everything, that's when pride begins to creep into your heart. Yeah. And it really setting you up to make a fall, because then you're going to think you right about everything and make a decision that takes your whole family in a direction that was totally wrong. And the Lord will allow you to fall down that flight of stairs in life, right? To let you know that, see, you always have to be gracefully right, because though you are right this time, there will be times, because we are all human, where we are wrong. right? Yeah. And so we have to say, man, though I was right, guess what? It's okay. You missed it this time. Next time we're going to get it together. And I can't be into a place where, look at me, let me lead. Because the Bible says that we lead together, we submit to one another, and mm-hmm. we walk side by side. And so I got to be gracefully right.
I got to be gracefully right. Go ahead, Sherelle.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, I had to, that's a, like, with having pride, it was also about wanting to control everything. And I had to relinquish control and allow my husband to make some, like, because I was, you know, I had a two-parent household, so I thought, you know, like I said, I thought I knew a little bit more, and I just kind of discounted anything that he had to contribute, because you didn't have a, you know, you didn't grow up in a two-parent household, or you didn't read this book, or you didn't watch this podcast and all of that. So I'm just going off everything I took in and thinking I gotta control everything. And it took God, you know, working, dealing with me, and then I had to start allowing him, hey, would you, let's, Elvin, you take the lead on this. And I actually enjoy Elvin taking the lead, because he's so, you know, he's just so wise. So I like, you know what I'm saying, I like to look to him to say, hey, how should we handle this as a, you know, we growing up. I honestly, I feel like I'm so young, but I realize we not that young, but I just feel like we growing up. So I'm always like, we like gotta do the bit, you know, I can't leave with my parents all the time, like no more, really. It's like we gotta grow up and do this. Hey, Elvin, what you think? Let's talk about this. And I like to see him taking the lead and deciding, yeah, this is how we gonna handle it. Like I enjoy that, it feels good, and it's like attractive, and I just I'm glad for that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
it's a sexy thing. But look, it's a sexy thing. Look, but it's something you said, it just made me think of something, like, yes, because you were so much in control, you deactivated your man.
Oh, that's good.
And because you allow him to be who he is, and then all of a sudden you wanted to eat from that tree and you realized that he was wise. Come on. That's
sexy. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And beforehand, because I was beating down so much, he didn't have the confidence to be the man. He didn't have the confidence to rise up, because I was tearing him apart before he can even develop. You know what I'm saying? And so when I relinquish control and allow God to be God in his life, and allow him to encounter God, and allow him to make some mistakes, and allow him to learn, and allow him to have his hands on his own too. Allow him to take the reins on some things. Okay, now this man is a, you know, he was a man before. I just kept seeing him as how I wanted, you know, the man to look. But, you know, he is confident in who he is as a man. And he, you know, you can't, you know, his confidence is up. Hey, and I like that. Yes, I need some confidence. So I'm like,
see that chest pumped out.
That's all right, bro. Let your chest pump out a little bit.
I'll just play. But Elvin has grown. Yes, he has. He's grown.
He got God. Confidence. He's absolutely. Confident in God working in his life.
Hallelujah. Absolutely.
And so this has been wonderful, y'all. I want to thank everybody who's tuned in to the first of many editions of our More Than Paper podcast with the Johnsons and the Jaspers right here on Transform City Radio. I want you to know that no matter where you are in your marriage, as long as both of you are submitting your life to Christ, your marriage can be salvaged. What's the word I want to use? It can be redeemed. It can be salvageable. I can't even say the words. There you go. And it can be as sweet as the work you all put into it. And so just know that you're not by yourself. As we go roll through other topics throughout this podcast, you will see that marriages go through things. Ain't nobody got no cookie cutter marriage where everything has been sunshine and roses and sunny days without the dark days, because it's in the dark days that we find God the most. And so when you go through things and you feel like you're all alone and nobody understands, I'm sure if you talk to someone in your local circle, someone in your local group, godly counsel, you'll discover that there's many, many people that have gone through the same thing you've gone through. It's almost like the story of Elijah. The Bible says that when Elijah was running from
Jezebel, that he said, Lord, I'm the only one of your prophets left. And the Lord had to correct him and says, no, I have 7,000 more, I believe it was, that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So sometimes we all go through feeling like we're the only one. My marriage is the only one that's in trouble. My marriage is the only one. And a part of it is the fault of all of us, because a lot of times we tell people the highlights, but we don't tell them the struggles. And so we, our life to other people look like all we have is highlights. Everything has always been good, but all of us have struggled. All of us, and to be honest and frank, all of us at one time or another have felt like, is this marriage for me? Lord, let me throw in the towel and walk away. Don't let nobody fool you. No pastor fool you. No archbishop, no apostle. Let nobody fool you into believing that there haven't been moments when you thought, Lord, is this for me, God? Should I just walk away from it all, Jesus? And the Lord has shown us that, no, it's worth it. The fight is worth it. The fight is worth it. It can be beautiful. Marriage can be a beautiful thing. It can be as beautiful as the soil that you cultivate for it to live in. Oh, that's good. It can be as beautiful as the soil you cultivate. If you're willing to dig the weeds out, if you're willing to plant the right seeds in your marriage, if you're willing to water it and take the dedication and the time, because not everything changes overnight. Sometimes it's going to take time for those flowers to come up, for the beautiful things. You've been living with weeds so long that you don't even think flowers can grow there anymore. But a lot of times it's going to take time and cultivation for it to get there. But guess what? It's just not one of you. It's going to take two of you to work this flower bed. It's going to take two of you. You have to work in this garden until both of you see flowers from one end to the next. But it can be beautiful. Again, the Bible says that God will give us beauty for ashes, meaning that when everything has burned up, God can still make something beautiful out of something that's burned to a crisp. And some of our marriages have been burned to a crisp, but God can give life again. So again, I want to thank you. On behalf of the More Than Paper podcast with the Johnsons and Jaspers for joining us, and we'll be back next month with another topic. Woo! Y'all say goodbye to the people, everybody.
See you later. Peace.
Love y'all.
God bless y'all. God bless y'all. We love y'all.
All right. Have a good one.